You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our series of Attorney General candidate forums. While the race is mainly being described as a close fight between Democrat Susan Happ and Republican Brad Schimmel, there's another candidate on the ballot offering a different option to voters.
Tom Nelson joins us now. He's an attorney and the Libertarian candidate for Attorney General of Wisconsin. Tom, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
So why are you running for Attorney General?
Well, I'm running for Attorney General. One reason is the Libertarian Party is running a complete slate. We're running a candidate for every office, and so this is the one that made most sense to me since I have decades of trial law experience. When you get your ballot, you will find the Libertarian Party listed and every Libertarian candidate on the ballot. So I urge everyone to take a look at that and consider all those candidates. Bob Burke is running for governor. Don't confuse him with Mary Burke just because they have the same last name. They're different people, and so on down the line.
So you mentioned your experience as a lawyer. How does that prepare you to take on the role of Attorney General?
Well, the Attorney General's office, as probably aware, is the law firm that advises the state government. It primarily advises the executive branch. The attorney general is the governor's lawyer for all his state and official functions. When someone wants to know how a law will apply to a certain set of facts, for example, they will send over to the attorney general's office with a question, and they will get an opinion from the attorney general saying, here's how I think the law will work in this case. And those opinions are reported along with the case reports from the state Supreme Court and the state's Court of Appeals. Usually right at the bottom, it'll say there's also an opinion of the Attorney General here. It doesn't have the authority in the judicial branch that a law case has from the appellate court, but it's still informative, and it's put in there to help people reason their way through things. So needless to say, a long experience in trial law assists a lot because you're studying the cases and the law and litigating and seeing how the litigation comes out. And, of course, I have read many, many attorney general opinions.
So the race for attorney general mainly being framed as a close run between Democrat Susan Happ and Republican Brad Schimmel. What do you offer to voters that those two don't?
Well, what I offer is a completely different approach. I've watched their campaigns, and what I see is a very typical politically oriented type of campaign where the things they are saying are not matters of principle. They're not offering a political position or a professional position, but trying to figure out what people want to hear, showing pictures of cute little children online and saying, we will protect them and make them safe. And they're not getting down, neither of them is getting down to any of the problems that are in the government now, in the attorney general's office. Neither of them is offering any solution to those problems. And those problems and the solution I offer are what I'd like to talk about.
Yeah, you're
the
running.
The first thing is.
Well, go ahead. Yeah.
Pardon me?
That's right. Go ahead.
The first thing is, put very simply, this state has way too many people in prison. And
are you still there, Tom? I think we've lost our connection with Tom Nelson, Libertarian candidate for governor, as we hopefully bring him back momentarily. We'll remind you that we're having candidate forums with the candidates for Attorney General of Wisconsin. We talked to Republican Brad Schimmel in the previous half hour, Democrat Susan Happ coming up after 5. We can also take your calls for Libertarian candidate Tom Nelson. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post questions for the candidate or your thoughts on the race and the job in general over at the Central Time Facebook page. And this is the first in a series of candidate forums we'll be doing between now and Election Day. Between us and the Joy Cardine Show, we will cover all statewide races, invite all candidates on the ballot there, as well as federal races, the races for Congress, namely, and also some selected races for the state legislature of importance to control of things like the state Senate. Looks like we have Tom Nelson back on the line. We'll bring him up. Tom, are you back?
Yes,
that's
I
okay.
am back. Sorry,
we lost
it
you.
Looks like the call got dropped.
Yep. Well, we're back now, and you were talking about what you could do as Attorney General about the state's prison population.
Okay, the state's prison population is enormous. The state operates 37 adult prisons, 2 juvenile, and 4 of what it calls correctional farms. But the hard numbers here are 22,462 people in those prisons. Now, right next door in Minnesota, they have 9,768 people in prison, and we only have 7% more population in the state. In Minnesota, the prison system costs them $481 million a year. Here in Wisconsin, we spend $1.158 billion a year. Are the streets safer in Wisconsin than in Minnesota? Maybe marginally. Minnesota is 30th in the violent crime ranking, federal government. Wisconsin is 32nd, 2 down. And it's pretty clear the streets are safe in both states. What's happened in Wisconsin is, of course, government is a tremendous growth industry in our state. And, of course, libertarians, as we know, want to cut that down. We think there's too much government, and it's doing too much, and it's doing too many things badly. I would endeavor to cut the prison population down and quit making such a gigantic industry. And there are a number of things, ways I would go about doing this.
Yeah, what kind of things would you do targeting reducing that prison population?
The one thing I have seen over and over over the last about 24 years that I've actually been trying cases in Wisconsin is this go-for-the-throat hunting dog drive that prosecutors have. Prosecutors, when they get a case, are supposed to exercise discretion. It's called prosecutorial discretion. Should this case really be dragged into court? If so, what penalties are we going for? That discretion's not being exercised. It's an optimizing process. They act like salesmen. Every case is taken in. Every possible charge is raised and prosecuted, and they always go for maximum penalties. And they do a pretty good job of it. That's why our crime rate is so low. But that's also why our prisons are overflowing and why it's costing a vast fortune to operate them. By the way, let me add as a side note here a very important thing. I'm talking about the money the prisons cost. That's not the worst cost. The destruction of human lives, the waste of humanity, is much worse than the economic costs of the prisons. Our criminal justice system takes people and stamps that word felon on them at every opportunity it gets. And it's just grossly overdone. It doesn't have to cost that much, and we don't have to destroy people like that. Once a person's been convicted of a felony, he won't be able to get a government job, he won't be able to get student loans, and he'll have a very difficult time supporting himself the rest of his life. What's he going to do then? Turn to crime? Turn to welfare? And why do we want to create that situation in a case where we can avoid it? Now, I could tell you a lot of specific cases where felony prosecutions were brought where they just shouldn't have been. A woman once wrote a false statement on a welfare application. That's a felony. I had a child, a high school child once, who had a prescription for ibuprofen. I think it's called Advil. And the prescription was for 800-milligram tablets, and so they're controlled. The 400-milligram tablets you can buy over the counter. She gave one of these tablets to a classmate and was prosecuted for distributing drugs. Had she given the classmate 2 400-milligram Advils, it wouldn't even have been a crime, but she gave him one of the 800-milligram Advils. I talked to the prosecutor and asked him, what are you doing? Why are you doing? Well, he points to the statute. See the statute here? This is on a schedule of controlled substances. That is not exercising judgment. That's just going to the extremes.
Well, Tom, I want to jump in, and we've got a lot of ground to cover. I want to get to the job as the top lawyer for the state. A particular issue, the current Attorney General, Republican J.B. Van Hollen, has been appealing recent rulings that would allow same-sex marriage in Wisconsin. If elected, would you defend the same-sex marriage ban and the constitutional amendment before the Supreme Court, where it might go next?
Okay, well, first answer to that is, as Attorney General, as I said before, you're a lawyer with a client, and your client decides those policies. And what I would do and what any Attorney General would do, and I expect what Mr. Schimmel or Ms. Happ would do, would be call the governor up and say, what's our position on this, and then advocate it. Now I want to give you the political answer as a libertarian. To the extent I had any power to make the decision or influence it, the government really doesn't belong in the marriage business. Why should the government decide who can get married and who can't? It's not a government function. This is the core problem with government in America today and in the world, is government prying into too many places where it doesn't belong. And we're getting away from that in some areas. Until recently, a man and his wife could go in the bedroom, shut the door, and commit felony after felony in private by not having sex in the prescribed way. Well, we've pretty well gotten rid of that. We've grown out of that. Now we need to grow out of the government involving itself in marriage. It's just not a political question.
And as the boss of the Department of Justice, would you take that big government is bad message and try to cut staff, cut the budget of the department?
To the extent that, the job here, we're talking about the lawyer side of the job, mm-hmm. and I have described the obligation the lawyer has to do what his client tells him to do. You're representing the client. The other side of the job is administrative. You are the senior partner in a pretty big law firm, and you have to administer it. The answer to your question, of course, is yes. I would certainly like to cut fat and lighten it up any place the Attorney General's office is getting into business that the government really doesn't belong in. I certainly would want to retract that. However, there are a couple areas the Attorney General is not getting into that I would like to get into, but they have to do with enforcing criminal law. Would you like me to expand on that?
Yeah, please do.
Because I'd love to. We had a tragic homicide two years ago next month, when a man named Paul Heenan was shot to death by a city police officer, unarmed, stumbling drunk, and the officer said, "Get down, get down." This is from the official city report. The man didn't get down fast enough, so the officer shot him right in the middle of the chest at a range of about 1 yard. Then the officer shot him again right in the middle of the chest at a range of about 1 yard. And then, incredibly, the officer shot him a third time right in the middle of the chest. Now, this was shooting to kill. This was an execution. And this supposedly was investigated. The victim's name was Paul Heenan. That's spelled H-E-E-N-A-N. And I urge everyone to go online, do a search, and read everything you can about the Paul Heenan case. The police department said, that's okay, you can kill people when you want to. The city of Madison approved it and didn't object. Our district attorney, whose primary job it is to enforce crimes that only have a local impact, Mr. Ismael Ozan, decided not to investigate, not to prosecute. He just walked away from that. And then the attorney general, Mr. Van Hollen, whom I like and who does a pretty good job in this case, unfortunately elected not to get involved. His office has a division of criminal investigation that's supposed to investigate local government corruption, matters that affect more than one county, so they're difficult for one county to deal with and so on. They should have been called in to investigate this homicide. If I'm elected in the office of Attorney General, I will certainly bring the AG office into times and places where police officers have brutalized citizens, or especially deliberately, thoroughly, and convincingly shooting an unarmed, inebriated man to death like this. The state should be getting into that. That is government business. That is a political problem.
We're talking with Tom Nelson. He's the Libertarian candidate for Attorney General of Wisconsin. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234.
Do you have a question for Tom, or are you wondering where he stands on an issue? You can reach us at 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll pick up the conversation in a moment. But first, some headlines with Kristen Durst. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking with Libertarian Attorney General candidate Tom Nelson. He's one of three candidates running for the office. If you've got a question for him or want to know where he stands on an issue, call in now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to a caller now. We've got Steve on the line in Eau Claire. Steve, hi.
Hi, Hi, I'd like to talk to Thomas, the Libertarian candidate, and pick up on the thread of thought that he was voicing before the commercial break. We have seen in this country polarizing and paralyzing partisan politics, and that's difficult to say all at once.
good alliteration, but, though.
But I'm interested in the fact that you are neither Democrat nor Republican, and I think that there's a real chance that you could serve a valuable position. Now, you've been saying your client is the governor and you serve the client, but this is an elected office. I wonder if it's limited to I serve at the pleasure of the governor, or is it that I serve the office? And in that case, maybe we could get away from some of this partisan gamesmanship that goes on that paralyzes government. Could there be an interesting value to your candidacy that you are neither party and you serve the law?
Steve, thanks for the call. Tom, your thoughts?
I really like that suggestion. That appeals to me strongly. And you know, in the federal government, the attorney general is appointed by the president, confirmed by the Senate, the way other department heads are. And maybe that's more sense because he gets to pick his own lawyer. It's true here in Wisconsin, the people elect the governor and then they elect the attorney general and they have to get along together. The situation the AG is in is that he's got a professional obligation as a licensed attorney and an officer of the court to serve his client, and at the same time he has a political constituency. I think it calls for a lot of judgment and nice decision making. However, I really do want to acquiesce to what the caller Steve suggested. It's a very good point. As a libertarian, assuming we're going to have either a Democratic or Republican governor, you would not be a party player. And you would have more independence that way. And you sit down and talk to people, and maybe you can change their positions and change their minds and advise them not so much on what they shouldn't do, because politicians have pretty firm ideas what they should do, but you can always bring up what they're failing to do. And I think that's where the better contribution can be made. And that's what's not happening now at any level in the government.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Daniel now in Cameron. Daniel, hi.
Hello. Historically, concealed carry passed and was signed into law by Governor Walker. Do you philosophically agree with our right to carry concealed handguns as the law reduced crime in Wisconsin?
Okay, easy answer to that. Yes, indeed. Libertarians are strongly in support of the Second Amendment. It means what it said. It's a compound sentence. It's not that hard to understand. And as a practical matter, where concealed carry has been passed, the experience has been good. We've not seen a lot of shootings or outbreak in crime as a result of concealed carry. And in fact, a lot of crime has been deterred. The NRA, of which, might I add, I'm a life member, carries a monthly regular item in their magazine, The American Rifleman, in which they list cases where crime was deterred because somebody had a gun. And most of the time, not even a shot is fired. You get the gun out and the criminal backs off, or you fire a shot in the air. Why don't police fire a shot in the air to tell the stumbling drunk there's a gun there and he's in danger? I don't know. And I'm referring back to what I said earlier, but yes, definitely in support of concealed carry. And yes, I have a permit too.
Daniel, thanks for the call. We'll go to Paul with us now in Whitewater. Paul, hi.
Very interesting conversation. You did mention that you did like the in general. I was wondering what points would you maintain from his tenure, and what points do you feel need the most change, and I'll take my answer off the air.
So where do you pick up from J.B. Van Hollen, Tom?
Well, of course, when you're new in an office, the first thing you do is find out what's been done and how it's been done, and you have to get educated, and you find out what's not broken, and then you don't fix it. We only fix the things that are broken. What I would do is keep, especially administratively, and as I've said before, I think Mr. Van Hollen has done a passable job. Look it all over, keep the administrative machinery working smoothly, and then start not too hard and fast to implement some new things. One thing I would immediately do, however, is start an investigation into the shooting of Paul Heenan and the shooting of Michael Bell in Kenosha.
where he was held down against a car hood by two officers while the third one put a pistol barrel to his head and blew his brains. That's online and a reenactment done by the police themselves over in Kenosha. Horrifying. It's absolutely horrifying. That I'd get on right away. And the other thing is going around, district attorneys are elected too. They don't work for the AG, but you can talk to them and you can go around and apply moral suasion. That's a word from the 60s. And try to get some kind of balanced judgment into these prosecution decisions and try to convince trial lawyers that they're not a pack of attack dogs. There is room for some moderation.
One issue that your opponents have talked about, the legislature's done a lot of work on, is heroin in Wisconsin. As Attorney General, what, if anything, would you want to do as far as law enforcement and treatment, for that matter, of heroin?
Well, that's being worked on hard. I wish I had a brilliant idea for that, but I don't. Heroin is an absolute horror story, and the horror story is bigger than the heroin itself, because these horrible excuses for human beings who push that stuff aren't content to sell the heroin. They adulterate it and mix it. They put poisons into it to try to increase the apparent effect of it. It's really a nightmare. And yes, it has been on the increase. I know, because I've been getting more cases. I've been seeing cases. I don't have any idea, except I would not let up a bit on heroin. And in the case of people selling and distributing heroin, that's where I would use balanced judgment to prosecute vigorously and go for maximum sentences. Just what I've been saying we're doing too much of.
On the other hand, you've
raised the absolute worst horror that's out on the street there, and that's where we should, of course, be making the maximum effort.
A drug-related issue, maybe this is more for the legislature, but would you be in favor of legalizing marijuana here in Wisconsin?
I've answered this question a couple times once on public television, and I'll tell you the same thing. I'm not opposed to it. I don't know why alcohol's legal and marijuana isn't, except the big brewing companies, of course, are the people who oppose legalizing marijuana just because they'll lose sales. And that's the danger of drugs, is not that it'll cut into alcohol sales. And the same thing with the medical marijuana. We use codeine and morphine and all kind of opiates are controlled and used medically, but for some reason not marijuana. I don't know what the hang-up is. But right now we've got an opportunity to watch the states of Colorado and Washington, which recently did legalize it. And I would hold ourselves right where we are for a year or two and watch and see what their experience is. And if they have a really bad experience, we can learn that for free and avoid it. And if they have a good experience, then we can liberalize a little bit and open up maybe and do the same thing. It's not often you get someone else doing your experiment and spending your money and taking your risks for you, but they're doing it, and the whole country can benefit from that. So the first thing is watch those two western states.
All right, Tom.
See what happens there and then decide.
Tom, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
That's Tom Nelson. He's a Madison-based attorney, and he's the Libertarian candidate for Attorney General here in Wisconsin.